Taste of Ireland with Discover Northern Ireland. Your next giant adventure is just a small step away. DiscoverNorthernIreland.com.
On Dublin's easy place to relax.
Sunshine 106.8. Sunshine 106.8.
Hi, I'm Ed Finn, and you're very welcome to A Taste of Ireland. My special guest this evening grew up on a family farm in County Fermanagh, where he was inspired by his mother's traditional home cooking. He trained in both Northern Ireland and the US, where he received a scholarship to study at the prestigious Johnson & Wales and Boston University. He has worked in some of America's most famous restaurants, including New York City's Le Cirque, Chez Panisse in Berkeley, California, and Jean-Louis at the Watergate, where he actually met the Clintons. He has cooked for the world's elite, from Barack Obama to Paul McCartney. He has won numerous awards, and he is the author of the third best chef cookery book in the world, Irish Pantry. And he is now the executive head chef at the prestigious Lochearn Resort in Enniskillen, County Fermanagh. Noel McMeel, you're very welcome to A Taste of Ireland.
Great to be here.
How are you keeping?
So far, so good.
I know we're in a weird time at the moment and a very difficult time for the hospitality industry. How are things? It's not the easiest time.
I think for every chef, for every person that has a hospitality business out there, it is a very nerve-wracking thing. It makes us actually think quite a lot. And I think over the last couple of months, we've all had really a good time to think where and what we want to do and how we should do it with our lives.
We're hopeful, I suppose, for the future that there'll be something coming up vaccine-wise, and that this time next year we'll be talking and having a very different conversation, hopefully.
Well, the world is a very different place no matter where you are. And I think the fact is that what can we actually do? We have to do our best, and we have to be very focused of where we're going to and what we're actually doing. But most of all, to be safe.
How did you get into cooking yourself?
I think one of the great loves of cooking really was very much, it all stemmed from my childhood. And I think that's one of the things that was bred into me, was more or less about sharing and about how things come together. And most of all, is the whole science of how you can cook something and it can go into an oven and it can just automatically happen. And I think the love of that was the whole family. I came from a big family in Tunbridge in County Antrim. And I think that was the whole passion and love of not just kind of being very much self-sufficient, but how can you actually more or less grow your own ingredients and cook for it and preserve it during the winter months was a key kind of red light to me, you know what I mean, of what was actually happening in my life.
I remember you telling me before, I think your granny was an influence as well on your cooking. And you told me, was it your Aunt Mary's hedgehog cake? I didn't even think there was such a thing as a hedge. Was it very prickly on the outside? So there was a big family tradition going on there.
I think that's one of the lovely things about Ireland in general, really, is about the sharing and the giving. So it really, you know, I see working in the hospitality industry in a big resort like the Lochearn Resort is really no different than what it was really at home. Because when you would have visitors, obviously the house had to be clean. You had all the cooking done. You were well prepared. The tables were set. The good crystal was out. So that really is very much, but most of all, the Irish welcome of welcoming your guests. And that happened to be family. And obviously they came with gifts, bearing gifts, and sometimes in old rusted tins from the outside. But when you actually opened it up, it was so meticulously clean and wrapped like a big fruit cake or some of the goods that they had actually done.
And then, I mean, you had the most interesting of starts. I mean, you with all these amazing restaurants like Chez Panisse. And of course, you met Julia Child, and mm-hmm. she was involved in your early career as well.
Yeah,
fascinating.
It is quite fascinating to think of the amount of people that have helped me on the road to where I'm at the present minute. And little did I ever think, because all I wanted to be was a good cook. And I think with having a scholarship to America, to a university, helped me to really kind of have a broader view of what food really entails. More, I would say, of giving me more skills to be able to go on to bigger and better things. And obviously, Julia Childs was the biggest influence of sharing her knowledge, but her contacts were so great that she was able to get me into the right establishments.
And how did you meet Julia then?
This is really, really bizarre, because the fact is that your path sometimes is there for you. If you're wanting something bad enough, it'll happen. And I had just finished with Jean-Louis and the Watergate in Washington, D.C., and I was supposed to start at Le Cirque right away after that. But my passion and my love was wanting to work at the world's best restaurant, which was a place called Chez Panisse in Berkeley. But they refused me, and they've refused me twice, of more or less saying, unless you've got a prestige scholarship, you wouldn't be welcome. And I thought to myself, damn it, that's where I want to work. So I got onto a plane and flew to San Francisco. And obviously, I happened to see that Julia Childs, Joyce Goldstein, and a lot of the most famous chefs in the world were actually opening a Macy's store. So I thought to myself, well, listen, this is where I'm going to be. And I waited and waited and waited until I got to meet them. And they opened their hearts, and I was just totally amazed. I told them the story, and they were totally surprised. So that was where my whole thing started. And that's how I got into the James Beard in New York to do other celebrity dinners. That's how I got into Chez Panisse, was through the likes of Julia Childs. And she was so kind and generous to me.
Yeah, it's amazing, because she is really the quintessential iconic TV celebrity. She was
so.
The first, wasn't she, really?
She really was. But I think most of all, I think this is where the key focus in your life, no matter who it is, or any young chef that's actually out there, don't look at boundaries. So, you know, jump across them boundaries. Go after your passion, your love, your care. If you think it, you can do it.
Yeah, no limits.
No limits. There is no limits. It's really in your mind and your passion, your love. And if you want to go to somewhere that is going to help you along your whole career, and that's where Chez Panisse opened their arms, and Alice Waters, which was a total icon in my eyes, she more or less surpassed everything that I thought Chez Panisse would be.
She broke the mold as well. I mean, she was one of the first women, I suppose. It was quite a male-dominated world then, wasn't it? The whole world of chefs and stuff. And as you said, she just didn't take no for an answer, really.
It is all about no for an answer. I mean, say, I worked in some of the most prestige places, and obviously, even in Le Cirque, at one stage, one of the waiters pulled me over to look out, and I could see three former presidents eating lunch at Le Cirque in New York, and it was like, oh my goodness, wow. But it isn't always about the gold plate. It isn't always about having the best crockery. It's all about the ethos. It's about where does your produce come from and working with that. And that's some of the key things that I learnt, the tools of life that I try to implement every day when I'm at the Loch Earn Resort.
And how did it work out then, Noel? I mean, in terms of your progression, how long did you stay in America, and when did you decide that you were going to return back to Ireland?
Well, the key thing overall is that, you know, I had a job in Ireland, and obviously my family is here, and my parents, all of that kind of thing. And I think it's all about priorities. I've got great and amazing family. and I think it's a priority of where does your heart lie? No matter how long you work somewhere, where does your heart lie? And obviously, I have a passion of what Ireland is and the people that you want to be associated with, not just the likes of Ballymaloe, of what they're actually doing down there, but some of the greatest chefs in Ireland, whether it's a Michelin star or a three Rosette or two Rosette or whether it's a great cafe. It's the people, it's the passion, it's the welcome. And I think that's one of the key things that no matter where, whether I was studying or living in Paris or seeing the greatest things, I was always pulled back to my homeland. And that's where I want to be. And that's really my focus in life, is associate myself with some of the greatest growers. Even if it's somebody that's growing carrots, it's the best carrots and they taste phenomenal. And I think that Ireland itself hasn't got the credit that it should have for the produce that it has on a global scale.
Where you're based now, Noel, I mean, there is some amazing produce around Fermanagh. I mean, we won't talk about the famous eels, I suppose. Noel McMeel's eels. I mean, I always thought eating an eel would be like eating a handbag or something, you know. Until I tasted them up there, and I couldn't believe the actual, how delicious, and the flavour. So, I mean, you know, it's amazing when you have a perception of something, and then you know, you meet someone who can cook stuff properly, I suppose, and, you know, I was blown away by that.
I think that's a key thing overall, that the ingredients that we have in Ireland, that we exported so much of it out, that we never got to really taste it. We knew about it, but we never really tasted it. Obviously, coming from Tunbridge is a key factor in the enjoying the fruits of what we have right on our doorstep. And that's one thing that we haven't been very good at. I think now that we need to recognise that, be able to put the name onto the menus itself, really kind of highlighting the people, give praise to the people. And I say that to every chef that's in Ireland, pay homage to your producers, show the public how great them producers are, and you will succeed in that. It's amazing. It's all about the story. It's about where it came from. You know, I remember at Halloween always getting a bag of eels, and I thought they were snakes. And the fact is that we had to cook them. My father had to chop them, and it was one of the highlights most of all. That, you know, little did I think my parents were putting all these skills into a toolbox for me, and so that I could use them later on in life. And it was very, it was surreal when I remember when I was in Roscoff when they were in Belfast, Paul Rankin and Jeannie Rankin, and Albert Roux was coming to the restaurant, and we had to make an eel mousse. So I had to go straight to, before I left the house, I made sure to run down to Tuam and get that bag of eels. And I knew how to do everything because the skills were automatically there. So it was very easy to impress Albert Roux.
We might get you to tell us how to cook the eels later, Noel.
That's an easy one.
Brilliant. Now, that brings us nicely along to your first choice of music this evening. Van Morrison, Have I Told You Lately?
This is something that I grew up with. This is something that I think everyone kind of had that kind of passion. It had to have touched so many of the strings in everyday life. And it kind of calmed us down. And I think in this time, you know, we need something that is beautiful and something that is calming, but most of all, that kind of resonates with where we come from.
Taste of Ireland with Discover Northern Ireland. Your next giant adventure is just a small step away. DiscoverNorthernIreland.com.
On Dublin's easy place to relax.
Sunshine 106.8. Sunshine 106.8.
Hi, you're listening to A Taste of Ireland, and my special guest this evening is Noel McMeel from the Lochearn Resort in Fermanagh. Noel, you were talking there earlier about food, and of course, you've become synonymous with traditional modern Irish cooking in a way, and you've done some amazing stuff with that up in the Catalina and in the Lochearn.
Yeah, I think it's when people ask, what is the style of food? You know what I mean? Is it French? Is it whatever? No, it's not. It's about modern Irish food. Modern Irish food really is about taking the best of local ingredients, cooking it as little as possible, and really serving it to the guest with panache and great skills of all chefs that have actually work around you, that you've shown what it's all about. And as I said, really, it's about you know, what is the Bruges? It's not about foie gras or it's not about caviar, but it's about, you know, whether it's fresh eel or fresh salmon. It's got great flavour. And I think sometimes we get away from trying to bring all of these ingredients. It's all about purity and about having the simplest of the greatest freshness ingredients that's out there. It's all about the essence of natural freshness.
That was something that I discovered, I suppose, over my trips to Fermanagh over the years, in that you do have some incredible suppliers up there.
Yeah, and we have so many of the great passionate people around us. We take the likes of Food NI, which is really a showcase of all of the producers that we can pick from. And I think that's really kind of a key indication of how we work together. It's a beautiful thing. You know, it's for any successful person that's out there, they make sure that they've got the best people around them to succeed. It's not always about them. It's about the great people, the great producers, and showcase it on the menus.
And Noel, in 2013, of course, there was kind of a highlight in your career as well when you had the G8. And I mean, you were cooking for Putin and Angela Merkel and Obama. I mean, that must have been amazing, was it?
I think it's unbelievable to think back. God, that seems so long ago. But really, you know, events like that, whether it was other events that I've done in Paris or New York or San Francisco or wherever it may be. I think when you think that, and I really mean that, my passion is very much about my homeland. And I think that was a crazy thing at that time, you know what I mean, having to deal with the Prime Minister on what were they going to eat, how were they going to do these things. Obviously, there were stipulations regarding to where and what they wanted. And, you know, I suppose it was a bit crazy for me at that time because they were sending things back saying, this is what's going to happen and all the rest. And I was basically saying, that ain't happening at home because I am not buying stuff from England. I'm not buying stuff from Wales. I'm not buying stuff. You know, you're coming to my home. So this is what I can do. And there was a lot of emails back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. That was very stressful, I have to say. And obviously, thank goodness, they came around to my thinking and I was able to showcase some of the greatest ingredients and the people, most of all, that they were going to experience. So that from anywhere, whether it was presidents, prime ministers or wherever they were coming from, they were getting a taste of Fermanagh.
I saw some of the letters that were actually on the wall that I know the Prime Minister, he wrote one. Was it difficult? I mean, when you were choosing the menu, I mean, did you have sleepless nights was it just something you thought, look, I'm the chef here, this is what they're going to have?
Like most chefs, I would say, in Ireland are very stubborn, you know what I mean? And they believe so much, you know what I mean? And they feel very proud of where they work. But most of all, where is all them ingredients coming from? Not just from Fermanagh, but from all of the areas of Northern Ireland. I think that's a key thing overall, is to really kind of speak, really showcase to the world and the people of the world that we are on a world stage.
Yeah, of course. And I mean, in terms of deciding the menu then, I mean, what was the actual, can you remember what some things that were kind of highlights on the menu that people really loved?
Yeah, I think that's a key thing overall, not just from the bread situation, you know what I mean? They weren't going to have focaccia, they weren't going to have sourdough, they were going to have good old, you know, fresh soda bread. They were going to have treacle bread. They were going to have different flavours that was going to be there. Or eel was a special thing. Or smoked salmon or fresh salmon was on there. But a huge bit was one of the tweets after one of the dinners was that David Cameron said that he had never tasted beef like it in his life.
Amazing, amazing. And of course, across, even up in Northern Ireland, I mean, the different beef, the herds that they have there. I mean, you were saying the Glenarm salmon I tried this summer, it was incredible as well. So, I mean, I can imagine. It's amazing, isn't it, that the land there can produce such such wonderful accolades, really.
Not just, what do you call it, from salmon, wherever it may be from, or from the likes of, you know, our great Glens of Antrim potato or the Cumber potato.
Or the Cumber Earlies, yeah.
Yeah, and I think a lot of people in Northern Ireland forget that we've got three indigenous ingredients, you know, our eel, our Irma apple, and a cumber potato. And I think that's one of the key things, that when you come to the Lough Erne, you will see a dish that has all three indigenous ingredients that shows, you know, on a world stage how it can be done.
And Noel, I mean, in terms of the, you know, being a chef and of course running a business, it's quite difficult now, because a lot of people, I guess, can be really good chefs, but when it comes to actually managing everything, what's the secret for you?
I think the secret on any business is adaptability, and I think it's understanding what change is in your life. And I think as we get older, we get more complacent, and I think that's a key thing. It's so important that we understand of how things can change and adapt to it.
We're not travelling much at the moment, but I know that you're a very well-travelled person. I remember the last time you spoke to me, I was asking you what were your most surprising food experiences on your travels. Are you still, travelling? Are you still learning all the time?
I think it's so important, number one, is to learn. Learn. I have to say, I learn every day. Even when I'm around my own chefs, they show me so many different things. But the key thing is you know, as my aunt used to say many, many years ago, she used to say, you know, the best education is to travel and to meet other cultures and people. And I think that's a key thing. Obviously, I loved Singapore. I loved Thailand. I loved you know, Dubai. I loved so many, you know what I mean? Bali was quite incredible. There were so many countries that, what do you call it, I totally loved. I lived it up, obviously. I ate in some of the most incredible places that was out there. But I understood it, because for some of the Thai cooking, you know, it could never be until I really was there in the country. I took a couple of the cooking classes. Same in all the other countries that I did. So there again, I kind of understand what their ingredients are and what they do. And some of the takes on some of the dishes that I have on in the resort using local ingredients, but really some of the tools that I learned when I was there was incredible.
I mean, we were talking about the G8 there earlier. That must have been an incredible feat when you cook for people like that. It must be something that sort of, it's kind of life-changing in a way, is it?
Oh, well, I think it's completely different. I'm just a country fella, being honest with you. I think, what do you call it, even before the G8, before they all arrived, obviously I was doing tastings in Downing Street, and it's wonderful to be able to say that I was welcomed back to Downing Street for lunch or whatever, the same way to the White House, to Barack Obama and Michelle Obama. So, you know, the key thing is that, you know, I can say about so many of the celebrities that I've done, whether it was Paul McCartney's wedding or whether it was something. But that was yesterday, and it was a beautiful yesterday. It's about today, and it's about tomorrow, and it's about the great people that we actually can share our love and our passion with. That's important.
How do you find the trends now, Noel, going forward? Or, you know, how do you try to keep things fresh? I know there was a spate there of people being allergic to gluten, and, you know, there was a lot of, you know, people very trendy to turn vegan, and, you know, allergies. And then I think with recent events, a lot of people were just happy to get a table to eat somewhere. And it's, yeah, a lot of people are telling me these allergies went out the window. But I mean, to keep it fresh going forward now, I suppose, for next year and, you know, menu wise, how are you finding things trending and stuff like that?
I think it's important for anybody out there in the hospitality industry to adapt to the change, right? You supply the demand. And the demand at the minute really is very much about vegan, vegetarian. It's about gluten-free. And I think that if you've got menus for people in all the areas regarding to that, you have your normal menu on, then you would have your vegan menu on, you would have your, and that can actually suit to maybe a vegetarian, the vegan vegetarian, but some people would say, oh, it wouldn't. And that's where, what do you call it, the chef should come out and really say, what is your needs? What would you like? What could we create? Which is really a great advantage if you've got the personality to do that. And obviously, gluten-free is such a big thing at the present minute that you need to have a menu on as well for that. But you can be smart in lots of ways how you adapt your menus to making sure how you achieve that you try to take the pain out of it. You try to make sure that you're kind of competent in how you deliver all of them different menus to your guests.
Wonderful, Noel. That brings us very nicely along to your second choice of music this evening. You too. Beautiful day.
Do you know what? Everybody wants a beautiful day and everybody needs a beautiful day. Let's all celebrate this one.
A Taste of Ireland with Discover Northern Ireland. Your next giant adventure is just a small step away. DiscoverNorthernIreland.com.
On Dublin's easy place to relax.
Sunshine 106.8. Sunshine 106.8.
Hi, you're listening to A Taste of Ireland, and my special guest this evening is Noel MacNeil. Noel, we're coming up now, I suppose, to the time of festivity and Christmas, and I suppose we're all hoping to have some kind of Christmas. I've seen some of your books and Irish pantries, so amazing. I mean, some of your recipes are just mouth-wateringly perfect and made, obviously, for Christmas. What are the plans now coming up to December?
I think one of the key things is that if everybody can actually maybe close their eyes and just think, what do they really smell? What do they really imagine Christmas is all about? And it can be about the turkey. It can be about mulled wine. It can be about friends. It can be about presents, because everybody loves a good present. So food is a massive, massive big thing. And obviously it's a big thing in my own house. So it's how do you share that? How do you feel good? And I know this is desperate times at the present minute, and there's ways around it, how we have to adapt to it. But a feel good thing is all about baking and sharing and giving at this time of the year.
And Noel, what is your favourite dish now that you love to cook for Christmas?
Actually, this is really simple, but it's really like a good shortbread. A good shortbread, sometimes cut with a nice cutter, and it's how you put it into small bags. I'm kind of, instead of going out and buying something, I would say that it's phenomenal to actually do chutneys. I've done all the chutneys from the garden. Obviously, I had time this year, so I've had loads of apples and loads of pears. The tomatoes were coming down like it was raindrops in the greenhouses at home from all of the produce that I grew this year. It's just been absolutely phenomenal. So really, I've done so many chutneys. I've done pickles. I've done relishes. I've done all of that. And obviously then for Christmas, I put them into a big hamper. And I actually then cook some of the cinnamon shortbread or a clove shortbread, or I put them into bags. I do nice gifts into it. And really, that's what I feel is a great gift. It's a bit of passion and love of what I've actually done. Sometimes I would have to say, you need to put a bottle of champagne in, but it's great to have a bit of bubbly with it and a bit of a surprise when people actually open that whole hamper and see all the goodies and what they're going to be able to have.
Going back, Noel, just to the wonderful books that you've written, do you enjoy the process, or have you enjoyed it? Are you planning to do more?
I would say for everybody on this whole island, right, not just Northern Ireland, but in the whole of Ireland, would be to put something down there and get down, write your favourite recipes, write your story. Everyone has a story out there, no matter whether it's about food or whatever, but it is so interesting to see how our lives are and really kind of showcase that to the world. I was so fortunate, you know, I just got on a plane. I went and got a publicist in New York. I wrote, more or less a start of a book, sent it to some of the big book houses, and they came back straight away with an amazing deal. I got the book. It was written inside a year, and it just developed from there. You know, so that's one of the great things, to sell around the world and to really enjoy it. And I do enjoy writing, and I will write another one when the time is right. And it's all about the time, right? But most of all, it's about your story and what you can tell to the world.
But you're not just cooking now as well. I mean, I know some people that have worked with you and they've just, you know, had such fabulous experience and gone on to do other great things. Is that part of the pleasure of it now these days? I mean, you've probably had mentors yourself that you spoke about, some very famous people earlier that have really influenced you. And now you're doing the same for other younger chefs coming up.
Yeah, I think it's so important. Number one is that what you have is about giving, not taking. As we get older, it's to make sure that you influence them to the best of their ability so that they can go on to greater and bigger things, and to really kind of be able to give a pathway to places that they would never think was possible. So it kind of shows that. And I think it's about taking the best of them and showing it to them, and trying to give there. On a sometimes, which I really don't like looking at on a negative side, is that some people will never want to, they will want to take and never give. And that will be their disadvantage in their lives. But it's all about how you can give and not look for it back. That's a huge thing in everyone. And I think that for chefs, and forget the ego, forget everything. As you get older, you really kind of realize, what is this all about? It's about kindness. It's about giving. It's not about taking.
In terms of your health, Noel, I mean, you're looking very healthy and fresh today. I know you've had a bit of time off, but you know, the idea of that sort of unhealthy chef that just grabs sort of snacks and throws cleavers around the kitchen, I mean, that's long gone, isn't it? I mean,
it's long gone. It's certainly long gone. I think what I'm looking for really in life is a good life. And I live obviously in the country. I've got the chickens, I've got the dog, I've got, you know what I mean, a beautiful kind of lifestyle. I've got a garden, and it's really a bit like looking really every day at what time of the month it really is, because you can see how this year, most of all, getting the garden been off, getting the garden all sorted, getting it all planted, having and seeing the fruits of nature at its best. Even having beehives and having your own honey is quite an advantage. But it's really a mindset. No matter whether you do have that, whether you're from the country, it's how do you want to live your life? And I think that's a key thing for every chef that's actually off at the present minute, is to kind of understand, what do they want to do? And how are they going to live their lives?
That's quite interesting, isn't it? The way that we've all had to sort of stop and do that. And it's a very creative process in a way. And it's amazing. A few people have told me, and people involved in the hospitality industry as well, that, you know, it does give you a chance to sit back and, I suppose, and take stock and reset yourself in a way.
I think I found it very, at the very beginning, oh my goodness, what am I going to do? How am I going to, I need to be here. And it was like, I can't be. I need to really settle. And it was really, it did take a wee while, because I am a get up and go and do and make things happen. Of what was around me, being able to walk the dog every day, understand more about what is around me, and there was no other people around. So I find that very therapeutic. I find that beautiful. I'm more calmer and very focused on where I want to go to and what I want to do.
Yeah, it's great. You resisted the temptation to go online and teach people how to make sourdough bread, did you? And scones. There seemed to be a spate of that going around for a while.
I think it's quite incredible. That, what do you call it? Obviously, I did some bits and pieces on Instagram, and I think, you know, being the chef ambassador for SuperValue Northern Ireland, doing different things for them or through Tourism Ireland. I think that was the highlight of it. But in lots of ways, I don't need to be on on Instagram or Twitter every single day. You know, I have more things that I enjoy. And I think that's the key thing. Do what you enjoy, no matter what it is, whether it is being on the internet all the time or whatever it is. It's the calming. It's the beauty of life itself. What do you want to do with your life?
And that's very interesting, because you were painting such a lovely picture there. I mean, you were talking about Tourism Northern Ireland, who are always great support. I mean, they're great support for, I know, the whole hospitality industry up here, and their team, you know, their new team of Embrace a Giant Spirit. It seems like you were embracing the giant spirit of beautiful Fermanagh, the Lakeland County there.
Which is so quite amazing for anyone to really get away. And I think that's the key thing of having time.
Yeah.
Hearing your voice can be scary at times, believe me. But I mean, the key thing is to really enjoy that. And the Fermanagh Lakelands are like something amazing. It's something about time, it's fresh air, it's healthy, it's so beautiful.
I can't wait now to go back again and do, I mean, that fabulous Loch Earn taxi that Barry Flanagan does. I remember going out to Devonish Island and the beautiful round tower there. And we had a picnic. We cooked the famous black pig. Is that what you're right to call it?
Yeah. And the black bacon.
Oh my goodness. From Pat O'Doherty. Unbelievable. The best I've ever had.
Barry is amazing for anybody to come, not just stay at the Loch Earn or any of the hotels in Fermanagh itself. I think it's the key thing is the activities are quite amazing.
Noel, tell us, how do you cook the eels?
That's a key thing, because a lot of people think I couldn't eat eel because there's so many bones in it or whatever. There is a lot of preparation in it. And especially when you actually get a sack which is full of eels and they're all live. And I think that's a key thing, is that how do you prepare an actual live eel? And obviously that's so important that, you know, I don't want to make anybody cringe, but the preparation is key at all times. And it's no different than any other specimen that you actually would get into a kitchen, from cutting it from the neck, making sure there's a bit of skin there so you can skin the whole eel at one time, being able to fillet it from the actual fish itself, you know what I mean, to be able to put it onto the frying pan. Or a key thing is to actually smoke it. And you can home smoke these things if you're really into cooking, you know what I mean, from a dish that you would actually have, that you would have smoked like chips in it. You would have your eel on it and you can smoke that nicely onto it, or simply to actually prepare it, pan fry it and really serve it with some nice soda bread freshly made out of the oven.
Wow, I can hear it sizzling in the pan there. That sounds fantastic. Noel, what's your own guilty pleasure?
Oh my, that's always a question that you kind of cringe for a chef. But being honest with you, I love a really good bacon sandwich. I love sandwiches that are really juicy and disgusting, you know what I mean? Homemade, you know, whether it's a real relish, a local relish from maybe Erin Grove or the likes of, Great Ham, Gammon. I just love all of a meaty, meaty sandwich.
Yeah, I can identify with that. I think that sounds brilliant. Now, for your final piece of music this evening, you've chosen a lovely one, Celtic Woman, Fields of Gold.
Yes, well, I picked that simply because I'm not being prejudiced, but my niece, Gemma McNeil, obviously sang it with Celtic Woman, obviously, as well. She's been in the arts in Northern Ireland, and the arts in Northern Ireland, like the hospitality, are so, so important. So we have to kind of get behind them and showcase very much the amount of talent that we have here and really kind of support that. I think that's important most of all. So that is really, and this song means a lot because it's such a beautiful, and obviously my mother loved that song.
Beautiful, Noel. It's been an absolute pleasure to talk to you this evening, Noel, and I look forward to coming up to seeing you soon again up in County Fermanagh.
Look forward to it.
Thank you so much, Noel.
Thank you.